Do you love comic books? Are you looking for a way to help out the Infamous Podcast? Then we have the thing for you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, click on the link, sign up for your free trial of Comixology Unlimited, and you'll help out the show. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 127, and we are doing our best of movie list. So these are the 10 certified Infamous movies of 2017. Just an FYI, certified Infamous is not the best movies of 2017. It's our favorite movies of 2017. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And yeah, before we get started though, you've got a couple more days if you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday or Sunday or even Monday to go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, click on the Star Wars link that's on there and get up to 90% off on Star Wars comics from Comixology.
Does that include trade paperbacks?
It does, and I bought the Heir to the Empire trade.
Oh, nice.
And it had all, it's the comic book version of all three books from the Thrawn trilogy. Yeah. So, and I got it for like $5.99.
Is it? Yeah. I thought they did the whole trilogy.
Yeah.
Dark Force Rising and the other one. I thought they did them as separate trades.
You're right, and I did. It's all three of them. It's six
all
books
three
each.
Of them
I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
They called it the Heir to the Empire.
Oh, okay.
Trilogy, or whatever. But
that's the Thrawn trilogy, people.
The art is awesome in it. Like, it looks great, but so much cool stuff. A lot of the old Dark Horse stuff is on there on sale.
I recommend the Star Wars Infinities if they're on there.
They are. So,
I recommend Star Wars Tales if they're on there. In trade paperback form.
Right.
I mean, there's probably five trade paperbacks. I recommend those.
And if Star Wars isn't your thing, obviously just sign up for Comixology Unlimited and read whatever you want, which is pretty awesome.
The volume with Darth Maul on the cover has the Indiana Jones Han Solo crossover.
Yes, and I have that book.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
So if you want to see a cool story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the coolest, just real quick, Star Wars comic, like, Elseworld things.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was really cool.
The Infinities is great too.
We can't say Elseworlds though with Star Wars. It's What If.
Yeah,
because they are Marvel now.
Legends. All right, so we're getting into movies. We picked 10 each, and shocker, we have some crossover. So we're gonna start.
That's why we went with 10.
Exactly. Well, you know, honestly, if we would have had five, I don't think there would have been
as much crossover.
Yeah, because some of the ones we have crossover added on because we went to 10.
Yeah.
So, but we are going to start with the five that we agreed on and then swap over the five that we didn't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's fine.
We'll start with Logan.
Yeah, sure.
Logan is my second favorite movie of the year.
Okay.
Overall.
Right.
I just watched it again the other night just because I felt like it. I've probably watched it five times since February.
Why are you torturing yourself?
Well, I think that's a testament to how good the movie is.
It's good, but it's a rough movie to get.
I hate Wolverine, and uh-huh. I'm not a huge fan of Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Right.
Mainly because it's like the Roman Reigns version of a character where he's just forced down our throat.
Sure.
But wow, it's such a good movie. Holbrook.
It's very comparable to the movie that's in the movie.
Yeah.
Shane.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But Boyd Holbrook, every time I watch it, I just see a little more like nuance into his performance.
Yeah.
And it's just wow. And Daphne Keene, I know she doesn't say a lot, and it's a very like Tom Hardy role that she's playing. But wow, that little girl's got some chops.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of.
Yeah.
That character with Bane voice.
You know,
I was not born into this. I've sliced my way through it.
I was sliced into this. But yeah, she's such a good little actress, and Patrick Stewart.
She emoted it very well.
She did.
Like, you know, I'm sure, especially with kids, it's not as easy to not have them speak.
Right.
You know, kids talk. I mean, we know. We're around kids.
Yeah.
But for her to not really have much of a speaking role. And when it was mainly Hispanic.
Right.
So it's like, you know, to not have her speaking English and not have her speaking at all.
Right.
Had to be, you know, different for a lot of people to see.
Yeah.
And that, but even like the very supporting roles, like Eric LaSalle.
And I love that he showed up.
It was just crazy, but it was like that part of that story is not one where you could have left it out, because I think it developed Logan's character even more.
Well, and it's especially because, one, Patrick Stewart's, you know, spoilers, the movie's been out for a year.
Right.
The Charles's death right there.
Yeah.
Is so abrupt.
Right.
There's no setup to it. It just happens.
Right.
And I love that about it. It's not like there was this whole big, like, send off. Like, another one that we have on here is Odin, or is Thor Ragnarok. Odin's death. It was this whole, like, grand thing.
Right.
And, okay, great. We'll get to that. But the whole weapon X-24 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just coming up and just popping the claws right into his chest.
Right.
Was so just brutal and honest.
Right.
For a movie. And, James Mangold, man. I feel like, I feel like Logan should get nominated for a couple different Oscars. I think it should be up for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I think it should be, Patrick Stewart should be nominated for Best Supporting Actor, because honestly, I think this is some of the best work he's ever done.
Yeah.
Daphne Keane should be recognized for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been talking about it. What did you think of it?
I pretty much have the similar stuff. There's just, you know, I can't watch it like you can watch it.
I like that dark and,
well, it's
like
it's
broody.
It's not
stuff.
Like dark movies, but like it's just rough because it's a torturous type movie.
Emotionally
and like mentally, but the emotional stuff, you know, especially like you've said, Patrick Stewart.
I mean, you have Caliban, Stephen Merchant breaks my heart in this movie every time. Like, you know, I feel like I should hit the button and have Natalie Portman. Can you break my heart right there when I say that? But, I mean, the way he plays that in you know, Caliban's, obviously his mutant weakness is sunlight.
Right.
And just the fear that he that comes off of him in waves as they're burning him alive.
Right.
And, you know, his comeuppance that he, you know, serves upon the evil humans is it's just this beautiful bit of, you know, there's no loose ends.
No.
The mechs men get to where they need to go.
The mechs men.
You know, I heard some other people use that later in the year after
really?
We used it. Now, I don't have a big enough ego to think I coined that and I'm the only one who thought of that. But, like, it's pretty funny. It makes
me
laugh when I hear other people say it.
Zeitgeist type things.
Because, and, you know, honestly, they could continue Logan's storyline with those kids growing up.
Yeah.
But one of them has got to be Golden Balls from the new X-Men, all new X-Men.
Golden Balls.
He's the one who the gold balls, like, he can project them out of his body.
Okay.
He's in the Miles Morales Spider-Man book right now.
Oh, okay.
Like, one of them just has to be that character. Like, I would put my foot down.
I would kill an alpha character like that.
Oh, he totally has to die. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, so look.
Your name's Gold Balls. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's just, that's weird. I really, like I said, I think that Patrick Stewart did a really, like, good job.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman was really, like, you know, for, you know, this being his last time as Wolverine,
out on a high note.
He did a really good job. I liked the second Wolverine movie, and that was James Mangold too.
I like this, the second one. I don't have a lot of problems with, you know.
And I've never had like major problems with, you know, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. He's not one of my favorite X-Men either,
right.
But you know, he did a good job throughout. But I think this was probably the best, you know, being the shell-shocked, you know,
he's
man
that,
without any kind of mission.
And he's
know.
Got the survivor's guilt because he's the only one who survived because of his healing factor.
Yeah.
And the scene
I don't even think he was in Westchester when Charles lost it. I think he was forced to go get him.
Yeah.
Because he knew that he could handle him better than anybody else.
Maybe. But when he has to pull the claw out.
Oh, yeah, when he pulls the blades out.
Like, just the way he handled that scene. Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of, like, gratuitous gore
right.
in anything, not let alone movies, but just in life. It was this, like, strangely beautiful moment.
Well,
that they
just
captured.
Showed you that, like, you know, your heroes, well, and this is comparable to another one, The Last Jedi, your heroes don't always come out good
right.
at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, there's bad things that happen to good people. And Wolverine's had some bad things happen to yeah. him over the years. I mean, the dude was old at that point.
Right.
You know, I would say that this movie probably, like, took place maybe 30 or 40 years after the last X-Men movie that yeah. would have been continuity at yeah. that point. Because yeah. they mentioned New York, and it's like, you know, New York, that X-Men movie is in continuity, so that's mm-hmm. probably been 50 years in the past.
Yeah, and I like how they didn't just overtly hit over our heads that the adamantium is what was poisoning
right.
him and
yeah.
like wearing his healing factor down.
He was just getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I mean, he would have been well over, like, you know, 200 years old at that point.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know.
Right.
The only thing I would have changed is I wouldn't have had it be another version of Hugh Jackman. I would have had it been a version of Sabretooth.
Yeah.
And just because I would have liked to see Liev Schreiber come back.
Yeah. I think it would have been cool if you would have either got him or Tyler Mane.
Well, I was going to say Tyler Mane would have been cool, but I'm a big Liev Schreiber fan, so anytime he's in a movie, it makes me happy.
They just made Hugh Jackman look like him.
Yeah.
And that, so, you know.
Which was fine, you know, and like, it's a very nit
right.
to pick, so anyway. All right, cool. What's next? What do you want to go with?
Kong Skull Island.
Just a great King Kong movie.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Great big, great monster movie.
Yeah. The villain monsters
yeah.
were scary like they were supposed to be. Creepy looking.
Skull Crushers.
Yeah, the Skull Crushers. John C. Reilly
sounded
was,
cooler when yeah. I was thinking it.
It sounded cooler in my head.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly was great.
I mean, Sam Jackson in this is yeah. not at all like, you know, what I expected him to be.
No, he has a bloodlust that we don't see a lot from yeah. Sam Jackson characters. Yeah.
I mean, it was not over the top Sam Jackson, if you want to think about it. He was very subtle in his
mm-hmm.
villainous,
yeah.
you know.
And was he, I and mean, he wasn't really a villain.
He was
just
a villain, but he wasn't, because it was just, you know, somebody doing what they have to do to survive. But it became villainy when he, like, you know, focused on the
when
Kong.
When it came the revenge part of the
yeah,
story was the hard part.
Yeah, after Dr. Doom gets killed and he, you know.
Yep. Yeah, like, so think about that. This movie has Dr. Doom
mm-hmm.
from the forgettable Fanfourstick movie.
Yeah.
Loki.
Yeah.
The soon-to-be Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph.
A Nova Corps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot yeah. about that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like it's
plus,
a Disney Marvel
what, smorgasbord. Most of the cast of Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the guy that played Eazy-E was in there.
Well, and the guy who plays...
And then, well, Dre is.
Dre, yeah.
Will you grab me a pen?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't care which one. So, oh, cool. But yeah, and it looks beautiful. John Goodman was great in the little bit we got to see John Goodman.
I think that's the best way to do John Goodman.
It's just in small... I don't know.
Like
last
Tim,
year in
Ten Cloverfield Lane, there's still he wasn't in a lot of it.
Right.
You know, but what he was in, like, you know, was awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely like one of those things where, you know, John Goodman shows up in a movie now. It's, oh, cool.
Sweet John Goodman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kong looked amazing.
I look forward to seeing Kong in Destroy All Monsters or whatever
yeah.
they're calling the big crossover because he'll be bigger. And, you know, I want to see how they evolve the character as a grown-up instead of just a child.
And I
thing.
Liked the his family's skeletons and things
well,
like
that. Well, I
liked
that the island had other creatures
right.
on it that were, you know, more, like, not hostile
yeah.
creatures, and you got to see a wide range of stuff.
When he killed the calamari thing and
yeah.
had calamari,
yeah.
that was an awesome scene.
Yeah, the giant octopus, the tree spider.
That was my next thing. The tree thing was
That the other tree thing terrifying. Where it was like the log.
Yeah, that where up. With the
Yeah, the one where it's like the chameleon log, and then the just those cows.
Yeah.
The like, you know.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, some creatures are on the menu and some aren't for Kong. So but yeah, I thought it was like a cool idea that, you know, not all the creatures, like the other Kong movies, every creature's out to kill King Kong.
Right.
And in this movie, it's like, not all of them look like they were out to kill King Kong. So, you know, not that he was King Kong, but, you know, Kong.
The other movies makes it feel like he's not the top of the food chain.
Right.
Whereas this one, he was very firmly entrenched at the top of the food chain, and the Skull Crushers were vying for that title.
And I think it was cool that, like, the tribal people that lived on the island were not worshiping him as a god.
Mm-hmm.
They were just worshiping him as what he was, you know, a Kong.
I mean, he was like, the protector too.
Yeah, he was their protector. The and people. I think, like, you know, the whole thing of trying to do the girl tied to the wall so Kong could claim her was well done not to do that in this movie. Like, there's a small interaction of it, but it was just one of those things where it's like, it wasn't the movie.
No.
And they didn't go to New York. And it was like, thank you for
they
not
stayed on
that.
An island. And it was perfect that way. The other cool thing about this is the byproduct of something that came out of this. And it's the How It Should Have Ended, Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
It's one of the best ones.
I don't think I've ever watched that one.
You know, he's got her and he's fighting the thing and he punches down its throat and pulls his hand out realized he just crushed Brie Larson and he just drops her and was like shuffles off like
whoops.
Doing the side eyes.
Sorry about that.
I liked this
had a stinger that wasn't expected.
Oh, it's like the end of Iron Man when they brought in Nick Fury. No one expected the Avengers initiative.
I mean, there wasn't really anything like that before. No. But, I mean, this one was one where it was like, you know, you're just like, oh, I'll check the after credits thing. And it's like, yeah, there's something after the credits. Like,
well, we saw
okay.
this one.
Well, we'll see what it is. And it's like, literally, I was like, that was one of the coolest stingers ever. So,
absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Sure.
I think
we're just going to go in chronological order at this point.
Oh, I didn't realize
we've
I was doing that.
We've gone in chronological order.
You know, I just rewatched this one the other night. I saw it twice in the theater.
Watched it, I think, three times now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my first time in the theater, if you recall, I accidentally saw it in 3D. Because I wasn't paying attention.
You telling me that.
It's one of the few Thursday night movies I went to this year. And I left the movie not happy. And it wasn't that I wasn't happy with the movie. I wasn't happy with the fact that I had to sit through a 3D movie.
So that tainted how you felt about it first time? Or?
I didn't come out of it like with a solid yes or no.
Did
this
you
is
see
good.
It again before we talked about it, or did you?
No,
just,
okay. I hadn't.
So
that
you
was
gotta
the problem.
Go back and listen to that. And
so
see.
Anyway, so then I saw it again with the family, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then we bought it when it came out and watched it, and then that was a couple months ago, but it just hit Netflix not too long ago,
which makes it easier to watch.
And well, I mean, I have it digitally,
well,
so
right. I
but
know, but
I
mean,
I so I watched it. Just kind of, you know what? I don't have anything to do. It's 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
I don't want to play any video games. I don't want to watch anything new. I literally turned it on with the, hey, you know what? I'm going to put this on. And if I fall asleep, I fall asleep.
Right.
And I stayed up and I watched the whole thing. And, you know, the scene where Rocket and Yondu and Baby Groot are walking through the Ravager ship.
Yeah.
Is one of my favorite things that's ever happened in a Marvel movie.
Okay.
I love it. It's the whole, you know, the song that's playing.
Yeah.
The, you know, come a little bit closer. You're my kind of, you know.
Sure, yeah.
It just works. Most of the stuff with the Ravengers I really like.
Yeah.
I like the mutiny. I like Taserface. I like Rocket making fun of Taserface. What doesn't necessarily work for me.
Gives you a whole different thing when you watch this as us and you realize that you know, Taserface is on This Is Us.
Who's
her fiance.
Is that?
That's Taser.
That's Toby?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Taser hilarious. Bitch. Okay, I have a whole new appreciation
for
that's this.
That's what
is
I'm
us.
Saying. You don't realize it until...
Who's our face?
Yeah, I didn't realize it until Horror Hound has booked him for Cincinnati.
Oh.
And they had posted that, you know, the pictures of him from both. And I'm like, no. And I go on and look it up and I'm like... Okay,
you're like really weird now. Oh, by the way, speaking of conventions, we have to go to Lexington this year. Like they've announced a bunch of cool guests.
I haven't looked at what all they've announced.
Never mind the fact that Amy Jo Johnson is going to be there.
Well, sure.
But yeah. Anyway, the thing that bothers me most about this movie is Star-Lord.
Okay.
And it's just he's so dumb. In a lot of instances, and I don't know because, like, I wasn't born on Earth and abducted when I was a little kid.
Right.
Right after my mom died, hearing stories that my dad was a spaceman, thinking my mom was crazy.
Right.
So I don't know if that's how I would react, but it just seems like
he reverted to,
like, a 12-year-old really fast.
And it's because of the thing where, you know, the whole David Hasselhoff story. And I think that was it.
Zardu Hasselfrau?
Well, he's just looking for... You know, somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, doesn't realize that it's right there in front of your face the whole time and you don't realize it.
Yeah.
And it's not like a romance thing. It's that Yondu had been his parent.
Yeah.
The parent that he needed.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, because, I mean, his mom was there. His mom loved him, but his mom was always focused on ego.
Yeah, she was always looking to the stars.
And calling him my little Star-Lord because his father was out there.
Right.
Obviously, but Yondu kidnapped him at the right time.
Yep.
That he needed that. He needed that
He got
that
what
parentage.
He needed out of Yondu.
Yeah. I think Yondu got what he needed out of him.
Yeah.
Because Yondu had been doing a lot of bad stuff by going and getting these other kids that were Ego's kids and knowing what was going on.
Yeah.
And just finding this kid and knowing that there's something special about him besides him being skinny and able to squeeze in.
Skinny and good for thieving. Which, again, if you want to watch something funny on how it should have ended, the Yondu, Mary Poppins starring Yondu Udonta is one of the funniest things you'll watch
that
on
was
the
funny,
internet. Yeah, and it wasn't Chris Pratt. It wasn't, you know, the other stuff when he was with the Guardians. It's just that father thing. And, like, I don't know if that's how someone
I
would
think
actually
it,
react
it,
or not.
It's kind of the thing that, you know, because his mom had an attachment to him, that's where that attachment came from.
Okay.
And then when he reveals what he did to her, all bets are off.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. Like, he turned it around and, went back. But
well, he loved his mom so much that, like, to find out that his dad betrayed her.
And him.
Yeah, him, you know, was just, like, the thing that, like, you're like, okay, now we got Star-Lord back.
Yeah.
We have Peter Quill, the little Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, I think by the time that, when Ego reveals what he did to his mother, it's like Star-Lord returns.
Yeah, and it's by no means a deal breaker.
No,
it doesn't affect my thoughts on the movie like one way or another. It's just again a nit that I had to pick. And
well, and it's I feel like the similarities to Empire Strikes Back are a lot in this movie. With the fact that Han is distracted.
I am your father.
No, not that. Not that. The whole thing with Han on Bespin is he's distracted because Lando's his friend and doesn't notice the things that, you know, he should be noticing.
Yeah.
The Empire was there the whole time that they were there. And it's like Han should have noticed that.
Yeah.
Chewie noticed it a little too late. But, you know, it was one of those things where Han was too distracted by his friendship.
Well,
Peter's
the fact
too
that
distracted
his
by
friend
his
was
father.
Hitting on his girl. And,
well,
yeah,
and that was
a
distraction too. But like that was the thing is like that part of it too. The whole relationship with him and her with Gamora was a distraction for him at the same time.
Sure.
And it's like that's where like I felt like that was kind of like Empire Strikes Back type thing. Yeah.
And again,
and the way they do the story because the story is taking place in more than one place at a time, and it's like. That's a cool way to do Guardians of the Galaxy.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then the Drax. It was just too much Drax. Like,
really? You think so?
like Drax is good. Like we just talked about with John Goodman, right?
Yeah.
Drax is good in that small, like there was just too much like, and again, I didn't have a problem with the jokes necessarily. Yeah. It's just, I felt like there was maybe four too many of them.
Oh, okay.
And
you know, I was fine with Drax.
I love Batista. I think,
well, yeah,
I think Batista as Drax was,
that's why I'm
inspired.
I don't
casting,
want Dave Batista to kill me.
Oh, he wouldn't kill you.
And I enjoyed Mantis too. I mean, like, you know, a goofy, goofy off character.
I'm ready
like
to
that.
See Mantis in Infinity War,
yeah,
and see how she interacts with the Avengers as a whole. And
especially Tony.
Well, I was going to say, especially Tony and Steve, if they're ever in the same room together. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
you hate him, but you love him.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that whole cast like did a really good job.
It's a great ensemble.
This time away, around. And, you know, I'm looking forward to James Gunn's next volume.
Yep. Thor Ragnarok, since we're doing chronological order, I think that's our next one that we have.
Yes.
All right. Why don't you kick it off?
I just like this movie. I mean, this was a really just a good movie, and that without even being,
it's the most Jack Kirby thing we're ever gonna see on the movie screen.
Probably. I really enjoyed the opening.
And yeah.
Oh, you're probably wondering what's Thor into now?
I love
just the way he like is talking to himself.
I love, well, the, he's talking to the skeleton.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah. And it's like the introduction and everything, and you're like, is he talking to me or is he talking to them?
So, and people had a problem with him spinning around so many times. No, it was perfect.
No,
it was so funny. And, you know, it broke up what would have been a monologue from a villain.
Right.
Right. And it's the woohoo, you got me monologuing to the hold on. I'm coming back around.
Pause.
Hold on. I'm really interested in what you're saying, but I want to make eye contact with you. Like, that makes sense.
I'm not doing this. Yeah. It's like, when he goes, it's so good when he says, I'm not doing this. Cause you're like, at first you're thinking, is he doing this on purpose just to like, you know, drag it out a little bit? But I'm like, when he says, I'm not doing this, I'm like, I got you. I think you're not doing it. Yeah.
So I think Taika Waititi brought an innocence back to Thor.
Sure.
That needed to be there because he is a kind of a sheltered being.
Right.
Like, sure, he's seen a lot of war, but Asgardians are kind of prissy.
Well, and this
in
was
a way.
This was the Thor needed to grow up type thing. And you know, become an actual Marvel superhero type movie.
Right.
And I think this did it.
Do you think he'll get Mjolnir back?
Stormbringer, I'm thinking.
I think it was destroyed and left in Iceland.
I think that's set
for
up
a very real
set
reason.
Up for Infinity Wars
for the next Thor. I'm
well,
assuming.
Right. But I think Infinity Wars, you're going to see Tony winning down that and is doing something with it.
Yeah.
And Thor is going to have to claim his hammer.
I don't want it to be Stormbringer.
Well, I don't think they're going to call it Mjolnir. You know, it's going to have a different name. And
Mjolnir 2.
Well, no, I think Stormbringer is a good name.
Yeah, but what happens when they introduce? If
they're
they
not going to introduce.
You don't
Beta
think they'll ever
no.
introduce Beta Ray Bill? Is
I think
that too
I
comic
think our
book?
Beta Ray Bill was on the tower, and that's all we're going to get.
Okay,
same Fair with enough. Bi-Beast, and the same with Ares. You know, I mean, the one that was missing was Hercules, but like, you know, like I said, one of my friends pointed out that this is partially a Hercules movie because there's scenes where
Thor is
Hercules and not Thor. I enjoyed. You know, a lot of the stuff on Sekar.
Yeah.
I think they did a lot of really... Jeff Goldblum is awesome in this.
I like that it was Sekar as well.
Yeah.
From, you know, from Planet Hulk.
Right.
And not just some garbage planet.
Right. Junkion.
Yeah. I like that they found him and brought him to the Game Master.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they had to take him to another planet.
Right.
You know, it just, like, that kind of stuff worked. It kept the universe big, but the story small.
Yeah. And like you said, we got a lot of Jack Kirby. Mm-hmm. And I think that Sekar was the best place to do the Jack Kirby stuff.
Cate Blanchett was one of the better villains. Never mind a female villain, just one of the better villains they've had in quite a long time.
One, I like that the answer to Ragnarok was Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't have to destroy the world. You just destroyed Asgard.
Sure.
And that was Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Surtur was great.
Yeah.
Both in his miniature form and gigantic form.
Right.
The setup for Infinity War was obviously there.
Yeah.
The Thanos, you know.
Well, Loki taking
Loki
the
taking
cube.
The Tesseract yeah. with him. But yeah.
Why can't we just call it the cube?
The Warriors 3 dying was interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think it was necessary.
Zachary Levi didn't even have a line. You realize that?
Fine.
He just got just straight up murdered.
That's fine.
Carl Urban was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about all that.
We did. So, you know. Anyway. All right.
We're just talking more about what we already talked about.
Yep. So, all right. So, the
just
last
one. Just
do
a search on the episodes, okay?
All right.
We talked about this one last week, so we really don't have to say much about it.
We're not
going to
say a whole lot. I still love this movie. I haven't gone back for a third time yet. I plan on doing it.
Three times in 6 days. I don't need to go back for about a month and a half,
sure.
I think. So,
it's,
maybe sneak in and see a 3D.
It's up in the air if we're going to see... If we're going to see this or Jumanji before school starts back up.
Jumanji. But see Jumanji.
That's where I'm leaning. I might go see this next week after she goes back to school.
Sure.
But I the more I think about it, I love the movie. The things that don't work for me, we went over.
Yeah.
You know, and
this
really
is all in last week's episode.
Like,
so just
really
go
the
back
things that don't work
it.
For me are just the Cato Bright stuff. And the whole...
Oh, yeah.
Everything that's just built around that storyline, because I think trying to find a master codebreaker to go away and come back and break onto a ship just doesn't make sense to me, like,
right.
logically. And I know they're running for their lives, and I think fuel would have been the thing. Like, I think you still send Finn and Rose
right.
off to a planet, and, like, people are like, oh, they like Lando should have been the codebreaker. Have you heard this one?
Well... And I mean, we just.
But
I
that wasn't in
that
Lando's
the,
special set of skills, you know.
We don't know all of Lando's special sets.
But I think
skills.
If they go to Bespin or something like that, and
yeah.
they have to, like, sweet talk him into getting fuel,
right?
You know, it can be a, like, that's how maybe he finds out Han is dead,
yeah.
that kind of thing. Because it, you know, everything just happened. Like, Han's only been dead for maybe a day or two.
Was it just a day or two?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, because it picked up almost right after.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My biggest issue with The Last Jedi is the trolls, both the super positive trolls and the super negative trolls. I think there are certain people who refuse to admit there are things that didn't work in the movie, and there's certain
there
people
were?
Who refused.
There were things?
And there's people who refuse to think nothing worked in the movie.
Fish mamas taking care of Luke Skywalker? Right? I don't even have a problem with the blue milk whales.
No.
But the fish things were...
The nuns?
Yeah. Where?
The caretakers.
What? Yeah. I don't know. Something about them.
I want to know what they ate. Porg? The fish?
Grass.
The
There's
grass.
A lot of grass on that.
There's
island.
A lot of grass.
So, my thing is like, you know, and it's one of those things where I don't need the story of them, but I'm like, do they just asexually reproduce? Like, they've been there the whole time?
It's like Luke is Threg from Invincible.
Okay.
And he's just repopulated the
whole
island.
Damn, no. God, jeez. Come
so
on.
So that mighty Skywalker blood can
come
continue.
Come on.
Anyway. But
that Skywalker blood is not that mighty.
Yeah,
it causes
only,
a lot of issues.
It's really, like, it's the bane of the universe is what it is. Oh. But, you know, and I think some people are using this as, like, a political soapbox, if you will.
Ryan Johnson ruined my life.
I think, yeah, there's that side of it. And then I think there's other people who are, you know.
They're talking about the slaves and,
yeah.
you know, policies and stuff like that. No.
Just the politics that people are bringing to this
movie. It's a
movie
about Galactic Civil War.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know, the plumbers on the Death Star died. It doesn't matter.
Although that is a great monologue in Clerks.
But it's the thing that everybody should, you know, every new fan, old fan, medium fan, whatever. That's the perfect way to know that you might have gone overboard a little bit. Because I don't care about the plumbers. I don't care about the gamblers on Cato Blight or Bite or whatever. You know, it's
I think you got it right.
Yeah, I don't care about all that. It's just, you know, the story had a pace and it was decent enough. And like I said, I was not dissatisfied.
No. And
I walked out of a few movies this year that I was dissatisfied with in some places and not others. Like you said, there's things in Guardians of the Galaxy where it's like, yeah. But it's like on a whole, if I come out of the movie and I felt like the story was told well enough and, you know, I wasn't nitpicking it majorly.
Right.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Because there's things in Ragnarok. There's things in Logan. There's things in... No, Kong there pretty much was anything to nitpick.
Everything on my list, I feel like it was well worth the money I spent to go watch it.
Yeah.
And it was well worth the time I invested in watching it and thinking about it thereafter and then talking about it on the podcast.
Right.
But yeah, my bigger issue just with The Last Jedi is just the people. Like, I haven't...
But the damn title is very misleading.
Well.
Broom Boy.
Yeah.
Hashtag Broom Boy.
Hashtag Broom Boy. But he's not a Jedi. Anyway, never mind. So.
What do you mean he's not a Jedi?
All right. Just because people can use the Force. So Maz can use the Force. You know.
I just like getting
there. But like, you know what
just
I mean? Like,
dig in there.
Yeah, I
just
get it.
Dig in there.
But it's like, that's my big thing, right?
Come on.
It's just because you can use the Force, you're not a Jedi. And just because you use the dark side, you're not a Sith. Plain and simple.
Right. That's pretty much what they were telling you in this
and
movie.
And Rian Johnson did a very good job of saying, there's a lightness and a darkness. And the beauty is in the middle.
And both the Sith and the Jedi have issues.
I mean, the Sith are done. There aren't Sith.
What? Kylo Ren is not a Sith?
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
Why did you destroy the mask, too? The mask was so cool. Okay. Now, you let's go to the next one.
Okay. So, anyway.
Go to your favorite movie of the year.
I've said many, many times, Baby Driver was my favorite movie of 2018. I've probably watched it 14.
And I've watched it now, so I can say that, yes, it is a good movie.
I've watched it probably 14 times.
Jesus.
That opening five-minute scene is one of the best car chases ever. And
I can say that it was worth buying. I bought it. I mean, I bought it on Black Friday, but I bought it.
So, and I'll try to find the link and put it in the show notes, but there's a great thing of that opening car chase.
Yeah.
It shows all the different spots that takes place in Atlanta.
Because it's a cut up.
And it's not, because, I mean, it's one continuous, like, thing that we see, but it's in, like, 17 different locations
especially
around Atlanta.
If you live in Atlanta, you know, I've been to Atlanta enough times that I was going, wait,
that's not that, right.
Street's not there.
When he does the big like U-turn, and like goes to the garage, like that garage is like miles away from where that like
interchange
is.
There was a couple times where I was like, "This is a cool scene," but man, this is like cut up all over the place.
This is
a pop-up video type movie.
Well, and
really.
They have that on the extras.
They have
with the music at least.
Oh, okay.
But Daryl and I talk a lot about film editing and sound. Like he's very into sound editing.
Okay.
Like a lot of times when we start talking about a movie, one of the first two or three things he'll mention is the sound editing.
Yeah.
Which is great because I like to nerd out about that stuff too. The every door close, every bullet shot, every step is to
a beat.
To a beat.
Yeah.
In a song.
Yeah.
And I've said it a couple times throughout this year. I am so happy that Peyton Reed directed Ant-Man instead of Edgar Wright.
Right.
Because we would have not gotten this movie.
Yeah.
I think we would have gotten it eventually, but we would have not gotten it with this cast.
Right.
We would not have gotten Jon Hamm the way we got Jon Hamm. We certainly wouldn't get Kevin Spacey.
Right.
And I think Ansel Elgort was just perfectly cast in this role.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have
to worry. I enjoy John Bernthal.
Yeah, John, I mean, well, in
if
I,
you don't see me
about,
again,
yeah,
I'm dead.
And we've talked about this. Like, John, this is John Bernthal's bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
Like, these little parts.
Little cameo type.
That leave a huge impact on the movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, Wolf of Wall Street, his little role in that, it's like, it's there.
Fury.
And he's there, but it's like, you're like, wow. It's like, he just made an impression on me just in 5 minutes. Yeah, Fury.
Him and Shia LaBeouf and Fury are great. But yeah, it's just, it's one of those movies that I think is really special. I think it's a great, it's a different movie for Edgar Wright.
Oh, it definitely was, yeah.
I mean, he's like Spaced. Did you ever watch Spaced?
No.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's well worth the two, 6-episode seasons or whatever that you have to put into it. But so, you know, Shaun of the Dead is, you know, a very specific type of movie in a genre.
Hot Fuzz is a very specific.
Hot Fuzz.
If anything, this one has the, you get the Hot Fuzz feel in this movie,
you do a little
but it's
bit.
A, you know, not that.
But you've got The World's End. You have Scott Pilgrim, right? Those are all genre movies.
Yeah.
This was very, I mean, it's a heist movie, but this is very much its own thing.
It feels like it's a crime noir type thing. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you look at Blade Runner and it's got that noir feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's its own thing too.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie kind of fits into that category of, a category without a category.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What's your next movie? Because I can talk about this for an hour.
We'll go with War for the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
I really like the conclusion of this story.
I had this on mine and I took it off.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I think this movie was marketed wrong.
It probably was.
And you made jokes about the misleading titles. I think this was a very misleading title.
But I know that, like, people that never should, like, my mom actually asked about this movie, and I'm like, my mom's never asked about a Planet of the Apes movie that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I was like, well, you know, if you want to go with us, you can go with us. And she didn't go with us, but it was, like, weird that, you know, she asked about it, and I'm like,
she's just taking an interest in little Johnny's life.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, I told her, I said, you should probably see the other ones before you see this.
Okay.
Even though you don't have to see the other ones before you see this, I felt like for my mom, it would be a good thing for her to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
At once. And I haven't, I have it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it since it came out on Blu-ray and that. Just a really well-told story. I thought Woody Harrelson came off really well.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how they tied it back to the original with the humans starting to lose their voices and having a decent explanation of that.
Yeah, it was great how they devolved and there was a reason for it. And, you know, these were humans that thought they were safe after, you know, Tyler Labine's Patient Zero and, you know, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
But, yeah, I thought that was just really well done altogether.
So I'm gonna make a bold comment.
Yeah,
I liked this better than Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And which I've rewatched recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, while it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, we're both big fans of just this franchise in general.
Right.
I like this. This is my favorite of the three.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I could see that. I don't think I have a favorite of the three, but yeah, this was one for this year.
Cool.
Next for you?
The Babysitter on Netflix. Like, you know, it's not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. It came out at the perfect time of year for this kind of movie to come out.
Another one that we talked about.
And we talked for a long time about this one. I just loved it. I watched it a couple times.
Well, was this one where I watched it and I told you to watch it?
Other way around.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, which is rare,
yeah.
You know, because you tend to watch a little more than I do.
Right.
But because I said you need to watch this before Tuesday so we could talk about it, hopefully.
Right.
And then you watched it like Monday night, like whatever. But just I love the cast. I like the story. Robbie Amell is the superior Amell. That's what we learned from this one. It looks great. Hopefully there's going to be more.
Yeah,
because I think it did pretty well with
their
streaming. Again, not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but we're not talking about the best movies of the year, or else, you know, I would have gone out, or I would have bought Dunkirk and watched it before.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that one.
But I, it's like, you know, there's just movies I didn't see this year that I think are considered quote-unquote best movies. Right. That, but, yeah, it's just one of my favorite movies
of 2018. We don't follow the press corps that tells you what good movie, what the best movies of the year were. Yeah. We just look at, these are the movies we really liked.
Yeah, these were the ones I really liked.
Yeah.
So, all right.
My next one is actually an HBO documentary called Diana, Our Mother, Her Life and Legacy.
Okay.
And it's about Princess Diana and her sons. And shows, you know, how her death affected their lives.
Okay.
And shows how it affected the lives of a lot of her friends.
Did that come out this year?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It actually, like, was, I think it's been in production for a couple years now. But it was posted this year on there. And I checked to make sure everything was said 2017.
Because I watched a couple documentaries this year, but none of them were from 2017.
Oh,
they were
okay.
All,
yeah.
Like, two of them were 2016.
And I've got
one was
two
from,
on
like,
my list that are from 2017.
The only one I watched was Batman and Bill.
Yeah.
But
this one was interesting because you see how she affected them,
mm-hmm.
like, more than. You know, like, my parents affect me, your parents affected you, like,
sure.
But because of things she was doing to help people,
right,
they've carried on that legacy.
Yeah.
And they're still doing the stuff she was doing, and they don't feel obligated to. They're just doing it because she made that impression on them, because she would take them with her,
right,
to, you know, like, I forget what it is, one of the homeless shelters, one of the boys focuses on. And then the other boy focuses on one of her other, like, big things that she was doing.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, it's interesting to see how they affected her that way.
Cool.
Because when she died, they were with their father. They were living with him. And I think Harry even says in there that he had some negative words with her the last time he talked to her.
Oh.
So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's kind of heartbreaking, but you see how it affected him.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to hear her friends talk about her.
Okay.
And that you can tell that they loved her more than, like, a lot of people talk about their friends.
Okay.
And just the way they describe her as a young woman and, you know, how they met her and stuff like that. It really was one of those things where it's like, I don't know that much about Diana, but I think I know more now because of what her friends tell. Because
she was the Princess of Wales and Duchess of York? Was that her title?
No, she was just the Princess of Wales.
Just the Princess of Wales.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fergie was the Duchess of York. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, just the stuff that... They go into the stuff between her and Charles, the stuff that...
You'll have to tell...
Took them apart, but
when we're done, you'll have to tell Angel about this, because this is one she'll want to watch.
It's one where I was like... I just, like, I had heard about it, and then I seen it on there one day, and was like, oh, I'm going to watch that. It's only, like, an hour and a half, maybe a little longer, and that. But it was just really interesting, because, like, you know, and I can't remember the other prince's name.
William.
William talks about, and he has kids now.
Yeah.
So he tells the story about how they talk about Diana with the kids.
Okay.
And I was like... That must have to be really difficult for him to, like, tell them about their grandma, Diana, who doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah.
You know, she exists in the realm of, you can pull videos of her and that, but she's not coming over for dinner.
Right.
And he says he answers pretty much any other questions about her.
Okay.
Because he's the only one that knew her besides Harry you know. Because his wife doesn't know anything about her.
Yeah,
she never knew her either.
Right,
so it's like one of those things where it's just like he gets choked up a little bit. And it's like,
I would imagine.
Yeah. It's like, but I thought it was just a well-done documentary.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So my next one is The Big Sick.
Okay.
It's Kumail Nanjiani, who's a fantastic stand-up comedian, if you have a chance. He's on Silicon
Valley. Yeah, you told me
about
this one. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
And it's the autobiographical story of how he and Emily Gordon, who is also a stand-up comic and writer and just, you know, filmmaker extraordinaire, how it's their actual story.
Yeah.
And
So this is a docudrama.
Because Emily Gordon does not play.
She doesn't play. Right. That's what a docudrama is, where documenting your story, but other people are playing
characters.
They've
changed things like that. But he's Pakistani. She's white. Yeah. He's not allowed. They have a nice relationship. Then things go badly. She ends up in a coma, or she ends up getting sick, and he's her emergency contact because she never had time to change it. He goes, and it's, they're like, we have to put her in a coma now.
Yeah.
And
to save her life.
Right. And so he does it. And Ray Romano and Holly Hunter are her mom and dad.
Okay.
And
cool.
I hated Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
I thought that was one of the dumbest shows ever. But man.
But anything else he shows up in.
I like Ray Romano as an actor. I in Parenthood, he was great.
Right.
Even that one with him and Scott Bakula and.
Andre Braugher.
Andre Braugher. Yeah. Like, I liked that. Yeah. I liked him on that. I really like him in this as her dad. I love most things Holly Hunter.
Right.
Like, most of the time, I love her. She's great as the mom. There's this scene where they go to one of Kumail's stand-up acts.
Yeah.
He's trying to get noticed so he can get invited to the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Sure.
And some guy starts heckling him, and Holly Hunter just goes after the heckler.
She
starts heckling him back. It's just a good...
Okay.
It's an all-around good movie. It's heartbreaking. It's heartwarming.
Right, yeah.
Because she wakes up, right? And here he's had...
Were sleeping.
Well, kind of. And he's had... But, like, it's not like the...
Right.
But he's had all this time to really fall in love with her and,
like
have these deep feelings. And she wakes up and she doesn't have any of that.
Right.
And she's like, GTFO, dude.
Yeah.
You got to go. The end is sweet. And, you obviously know they're getting together because of real life.
Right.
But, they need to do more movies like this.
Yeah.
And not she fell asleep or he fell asleep and this happened. But I'm saying, like, the style that this was shot in, the family first type of a thing.
Right.
There's no affairs. Like most quote unquote love stories deal with he's with someone or she's with someone.
Yeah.
Someone else comes into the picture. The person who's with someone else cheats on that person with the new person and runs off, and that's love.
The soap opera.
Right? This is why 50% of marriages end in divorce, because that's what people think true love is. And it's not. Like, this is the definition of true love in my book. Of you're going to stand by that person.
Right.
And, at the end of the day, things happen where that other person doesn't maybe feel the same way at the same time.
Well, right.
But it all works out in the end.
Okay.
You should definitely watch it. It's on Amazon.
Amazon, I just haven't had a chance.
Amazon produced this movie.
Okay.
So it's an actual Amazon original.
Well, yeah, that's like the Diana thing. HBO was one of the...
HBO does a lot of that. That's the whole reason a lot of documentaries get made is because of HBO.
Right.
But this was one of the first Amazon original movies that was a theatrical release.
Yeah.
So, All right.
My next one's another documentary. And it's called Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond. And it's about the production of the Jim Carrey movie, The Man in the Moon, which was a biography about Andy Kaufman. And it's just a very interesting thing if you're interested in seeing how Hollywood is, like Hollywood production is, and watching Jim Carrey's process back then.
So
I miss Jim Carrey, like, comedies. Mm-hmm. I miss Jim Carrey not doing... It's the same, like, I was telling Elva, I miss Eddie Murphy doing, like,
raunchy
just
comedy.
Slapstick comedy type stuff.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's interesting to see why he changed. And I think this is why he changed.
So this is one that I added it to my list after you told me about this. I love Andy Kaufman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When I was a kid, I watched Taxi. I loved him on that. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
I loved
the Jerry the King.
Jerry the King. Well, yeah. I was young enough that I was like, oh my God, why is this wrestler picking on this actor?
Yeah.
You know, like I was all in on it.
Right.
I was a very strong, like, you
and
know,
it's very interesting
Andy Kaufman
because
side of things.
A lot of the documentary is stuff that was shot during the production yeah. of Man in the Moon. And then Jim Carrey's interviewed today.
Okay.
Gray-haired,
yeah.
bearded Jim Carrey.
Crazy-looking Unabomber
Mountain
Jim
Man,
Carrey.
Mountain yeah. Man Jim Carrey is what I call him. So you get to see the reaction that Jerry the King Lawler has to Jim Carrey as Andy Kaufman because
okay.
Jim Carrey is channeling him pretty much.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of bad stuff that happened during that production
okay.
that like people didn't know about because the studio told Jim Carrey he couldn't release the documentary.
Oh.
And he says in there that if he released that documentary when that movie came out, he would have looked like a big asshole, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, when you watch it, you realize, yeah, yeah, he would have yeah. really came off that way. But it's scary of the process he goes through to play this character and to play Andy Kaufman's, you know, other characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So...
yeah, that's definitely,
it's definitely worth. I think it's almost 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's,
and I'm like, it's definitely worth a watch.
It's on my list to
if
watch.
If you're a Jim Carrey fan, yeah. definitely.
And
watch
I like
it.
Jim Carrey
yeah.
too. I mean, so, all right, cool. My next one is Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Okay.
Again, I just really enjoyed the movie. I walked out of this thinking this might be my favorite new Marvel movie.
Okay.
It's not.
Right.
It's chock full
we
of
know
just,
Age of Ultron's your favorite.
Well, Haley and I just watched that this morning, actually. It's funny that you mentioned that.
Oh, God.
You know, it's that very... So I think I felt extreme nostalgia from this movie.
Yeah.
Because of my affinity for John Hughes comedies.
Right.
And it was very much in that vein of, you know, the whole Ferris Bueller thing that,
yeah.
that they did. Tom Holland is, in my opinion... the one person on this planet who was ever born to play Spider-Man.
Okay.
And Peter Parker.
Okay.
I think he does a fantastic job with both sides of the character.
Right.
That I think Andrew Garfield did a good job as Spider-Man. I don't think he was as good of a Peter Parker. I don't think Tobey Maguire ever really understood the self-deprecating side of Spider-Man because
yeah.
he's so up his own butt and so serious
yeah.
that he would never self-deprecate himself.
Right.
Like, and again, this is just from, you know.
Your
maybe,
observations, right?
Maybe he does, but like he didn't make that choice as an actor. Sam Raimi didn't make that choice as a director. I think Mark Webb pulled a really interesting performance out of Tom Holland. I liked that there was no Mary Jane Osborne. I liked that there was no Liz. Oh, crap. Or it was Liz.
Yeah.
Gwen Stacy. Like, I like that there wasn't, they didn't just throw him into the person he's going to be in love with for the rest of his life.
Right.
You know?
Even though Mary Jane's in there.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, MJ.
Well, you haven't even talked about Michael Keaton. I mean, we talked about it on the.
And Michael Keaton.
On the episode, but,
you know,
Michael Keaton, like, knocks it out of the park in this movie.
So I feel like there's Batman, there's Birdman, and then there's the Vulture.
Right.
And it's this, like, natural progression he made to be the Vulture.
Sure.
Where without those other two movies, I don't think we get this maniacal, logical anti-hero villain.
Yeah,
that we
yeah.
get out of the Vulture.
Yeah, I really like. And I haven't
Keaton
seen Birdman, but like,
oh, you have to watch that movie.
I tried to.
You didn't like it.
I just couldn't get through the first
okay.
like 15, 20 minutes.
All right, fair enough.
But like, I really liked seeing him being bad.
Yeah.
Mr. Mom bad.
Oh yeah. You know, he was bad in the way of, hey,
I mean,
you know, we got to do this to make ends meet, and we're the little guy who got screwed by the big guy.
I think that, you know, the reason why this didn't go on my list was just like a few scenes in it were just like
yeah.
too long, or you know the surprise
yeah.
scene was like, nah, I already figured that out.
Right.
Yeah. I was literally like, yeah, I've got that. I know. And I leaned over to Elvin and told her. I'm like, oh, this is what's happening. And that.
Yeah.
But like the scene where he gets trapped in the storage place was just
way too
long.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of Karen in general.
Yeah.
Like I get the pumped up suit. Yeah. You know, like because it came from Stark, it's right, Stark yeah. tech, but that's not what makes young Spider-Man so great,
right?
You know, as he matures and makes invents well, and I the think stuff that we on get his that own
in the movie. I yeah. mean, Tony really does a good job of telling him you're not good because you've got all these bells and whistles. You're good because you were already good before I
if
met you.
If you're nothing with the suit, right. then, or if you're everything with the suit, then you're nothing without.
Well, whatever, it was that you know, whole but, thing where it's yeah. like, you know, I think that Tony was just like, you were good before I met you.
Yep.
So why can't you just be that guy?
Yeah. Be the friendly neighborhood yeah. Spider-Man. Yeah. All right. Yep. Cool. Next.
My next one is Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, it's really
which
good.
Which I'll have to borrow from
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't go see this in the theater.
I wanted to, and I think it was a weird September time. A bunch of stuff was happening.
Was it September
and,
that it came yeah. out? Okay. Maybe that's what it was.
So there was just a lot of like just life that got in the way of yeah. getting out to go see it.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was as fun as the first one.
Okay.
Like literally we watched both of them the same night, and I said to Elva, I said, this one's as good as the first one. And she's like, oh, yeah. She goes,
awesome.
She was literally like, yeah, this is as good as the first one, okay. if not better in some ways.
Okay.
And that Channing Tatum was used too much in the previews. And
not enough in the movie.
Not enough in the movie.
Yeah.
Abra Martel is yeah. really good in this.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore. Just, as, you know. You thought Samuel L. Jackson was like over the top
yeah.
in the first one. Julianne Moore goes like way over the top.
She takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Just, you know, stuff with her and the returning cast was cool, you know, to see everybody back. And
did the girl who survived at the end of Kingsman, is she back?
She is back.
Did she get killed?
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Spare my feelings. I yeah. get it. All right, cool, man.
She's in it, though.
Okay,
She's in a good portion of it.
Good,
so,
good, yeah. good, good.
Okay. Halle Berry was even fun. And yeah. she's got a small role in it, too. I mean,
well, and she's Mark Strong's version she's, for the
yeah,
Statesman,
the,
right?
She's the Statesman version of that character, okay. Merlin.
Cool.
And that, but, like,
what
you
are
know,
their
Jeff,
names?
Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges is hilarious in this. Are and he's like, only in it for, like, maybe 10 minutes. But, like, every time he's on screen, you think he might be drunk.
Okay.
Their names are all after alcohols.
Oh, okay, because I was going to ask. Like,
so Agent Tequila.
Okay.
And Agent, you know. And it's like, it totally makes sense.
Because I was thinking they'd be like Agent Chuck Norris or yeah. Agent Billy Jack.
Literally
or,
because
know,
it's
Agent
the
John Wayne.
The Statesmen run out of their liquor facility.
Okay.
It's the Jack Daniels facility
oh,
in Kentucky.
Nice.
And I mean, that's literally what they based it off of. And that, and they even make a comment about, yeah, you guys are doing what you're doing over there in England with your, you
with
know,
your suits
and all that. And we're over here selling alcohol. And that, and it has a good conclusion with that.
Okay.
That totally like would make another one open.
I might just go on iTunes and buy this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
It was fun, and it was like one of those ones where I bought it because I was just like, I want to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'll pay to watch this.
Nice.
And, you know, yeah, I wasn't cool. unhappy with it.
Awesome. All right. My last one was a big surprise for me,
yeah.
considering how much I've enjoyed this movie and the several times that I've watched it. And it's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think this is a super fun movie. I think this is a movie that was marketed the wrong way.
I don't know that there was a way that this movie could be marketed.
That's the problem with
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
It's my favorite use of Excalibur ever. I think the way that they brought
it makes sense, like of what they do with Excalibur
yeah.
in this, and the way they explain the origins of Excalibur and all that makes sense, like to a point where you're like, yeah, there's nothing like that you can drive a truck through to blow this out of the water,
right?
And I was like, yeah, that was satisfying. It wasn't, you know, Excalibur's in the stone, you know, but there's a reason why Excalibur's in the
well,
stone
and what the stone is.
Well, yeah, once you find out
such a cool
once
twist,
you find out about the stone, you're like, okay, that
I love
totally
Jude Law.
Sense. Yeah,
and you know, I don't know if you watched The Young Pope yet.
No, I haven't.
But like, some of what Vortigern does
yeah.
is like very Young Popish,
okay.
and vice versa.
Yeah.
you know, Eric Bana's only in the movie for a little bit. He's great.
Yeah.
Lena Luthor is Vortigern's wife.
Did she play Marion in something? Was she Marion in one of the Robin Hood shows or something? I know she played, she was in the Dracula thing that
she was on
from the Tudors.
Legend of the Seeker, I think. No, she was in Merlin.
Okay.
So she played one of the characters in Merlin.
Okay.
But anyway, this movie looks beautiful. It's got that Guy Ritchie look and feel to it. It's got that frenetic pace of a Guy Ritchie movie.
Well, and it's not the, like, you know, there's no Guinevere, there's no Lancelot,
right.
You know.
Well, because they're new. Like,
right.
This is forming. This is
right.
This is very much the Arthur origin story,
yeah.
In this world. The mages.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so cool. You know. It's
I forget
got,
her name, but she plays the mermaid in Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Right, which I have not seen.
Yeah. But she's the mermaid in that.
Okay.
Like, you know, she's a French actress, and I can't remember her last name.
Yeah.
But she looks enough different that she's mysterious looking, and
yeah.
They do a really good job of playing it up in this.
Yeah, and, you know, she's great. Diamond Hudsu is great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Littlefinger, Ian Gillan is great.
Yeah,
the guy that plays Roose Bolton is in this. You know, so and again, it's not like a rehash of
There's enough
Game of Thrones.
There's
anything,
a thing
but.
Like I watched behind the scenes of this
yeah.
afterwards, and there's enough like love for the Excalibur from 81
mm-hmm.
that Patrick Stewart's in
yeah.
actually. There's enough love for that that they reflect on some of it in this, and that's one of the things that I can't think of his name. That plays Arthur,
Charlie Hunnam
talks about how that was one of the things that inspired him to be an actor was that movie.
Cool.
And there's enough love of that, and then just watching him and the director interact behind
yeah.
the scenes makes the movie even more interesting.
Yeah, like so. I like the whole gangster aspect. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's well worth watching. Like the 26% Rotten Tomatoes score. From
I'm glad
critics.
I don't even like care
yeah.
about Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, it's got an okay audience score, but like again, that's a bullshit score. The critics, I think, again, this movie just wasn't marketed right. Like the expectation of going into this versus
you know
what
Rotten
it
Tomatoes,
was.
This is certified infamous.
Yep. Hell yeah. All yeah. right. What's your last one?
My last one is Split.
And I just watched this.
Yeah.
So
what did you think?
Well, Unbreakable is my favorite M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay.
Movie. I was able to avoid a lot of like what this movie was about somehow. Like, you know, considering I watched it
you
almost
know,
a year after
you know
after
what
it
I was glad
out.
Of? I was glad that the spoiler that this is tied to Unbreakable, that I knew that.
Yeah.
But finding out where it was going.
Yeah.
At the end was worth knowing it.
Well, I had no idea Bruce Willis was in the movie at all.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing.
Well, sorry. Like, spoiler.
Yeah, sorry.
But
it was that thing. I didn't
yeah.
know that either. I just knew that it tied to Unbreakable and that Mr. Glass is somehow going to be involved with this
yep.
character.
Finding
I like
out, how he's called the Horde.
Yeah.
Like, that's the
yeah.
best villain name I've ever
right.
heard, man.
And just, like, watching it and watching his interaction with his therapist and watching his interaction with the girls... as the different characters.
Right.
And another one where I know a lot of people do the digital stuff.
Right.
And that does the digital do extras all the time?
I don't know. I watched it on HBO. Oh, it depends on where you get
well,
it.
Well,
like,
yeah. On
iTunes,
HBO now, you're not going to get the extras.
iTunes has extras.
You're not going to get the extras.
Yeah. If you buy it on iTunes, it has the extras.
The extras for this, if you have a chance to watch them, watch them.
Yeah.
Shyamalan talks about why this movie was made. And talks about why he did every other movie,
this
including
is a, yeah.
Airbender and, you know, all that stuff.
So this one is from Steve Blum or John.
The
John,
Blumhouse.
Yeah, the
yeah,
Blumhouse group. And I think they did a really good job of reining Shyamalan in.
I think that, like, you know, it was
and
just the thing where Shyamalan went to the right people
yeah.
with this idea. And then for them to develop it the way they did. And for them to, you know, get the permissions they got to use Unbreakable stuff.
Right.
Was an ideal thing because Blumhouse is producing really good horror
right.
stuff, and this has that horror element to it, but it also has that unbreakable superhero element to it.
I mean, this is very much a thriller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I literally, the first time I watched this, and I bought it, and it, right. it sat there for almost 6 months, and I was like, I hadn't watched it. I'm like, put it in one day. And I literally sat there and goes, is this going to go the way it looks like it's going to go? And then when it gets to the end and it gets worse, and yeah. I'm like, okay.
Well, you let me borrow this, and it sat in the PlayStation 4
yeah.
for over a month
yeah.
before I took it out and set it back in the case on top of the PlayStation 4 for probably another 2 months.
Yep.
And then it got on HBO, and I said, here, this is on HBO. I might yeah. watch it there. and gave
like,
it back to
why,
you.
Why might watch it? I'm like, literally, like, why might watch it? Because Shyamalan, you know, The Happening happened, and The Airbender bend.
I liked...
I can tell you this, the character of the therapist.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have got her unless we had The Happening, because she's in The Happening.
Is she?
Yeah, she's okay. the lady on the farm.
Oh, is it the same
and
character?
She is so awesome. No, oh, okay. not the same character.
Same
she
actress.
Is so awesome. Like her, she's not in it a lot, but every scene she's in, I'm like, I want to watch more with her because. She had other patients.
Yeah, her.
And
I wish she
would have mentioned what's his name from Sixth Sense.
Oh, Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, I really wish that would have been like something where it would have been a file with a name on it yeah. or something. Because I feel like
just
that's
Easter
the
egg.
Character that would have picked up where Bruce Willis's yeah. character left off.
I think she was very naive.
I don't want to spoil the movies that have been around for years, even though
I know,
right? because I'm like, there's still people getting to see these movies that don't know stuff about.
So them. I didn't care for The Sixth Sense.
Yeah,
like it just it's wasn't.
A,
I don't know.
It's decent movie, but it's one of those ones where it's like, there's a lot that you can like say, yeah, that could have been left.
And
out.
I'm not going to pretend like, oh, I called that twist, but when
I didn't call that twist at all.
But when it happened, I was kind of like, eh. Like,
my whole
is
thing
not
with that
like
twist
the reaction
is
most people
showing
had.
The explanation of that twist
yeah.
was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I would have never noticed that. But it's another one where watching the special
right.
features, you're like, oh, yeah, that whole, like, there's
I don't feel like
where,
I should
like,
have to watch the special features to
well,
enjoy
Well, it's
a
just
movie,
one of those
though.
Things that I
know,
do. But I'm like, the whole thing where, you know, they point out stuff that, you know, that obviously at the end of Sixth Sense, they yeah. show what happened to that character.
Yeah.
But they point out stuff in the special features where it's like, it makes me go back and watch it again and appreciate
with a
that it was
lens.
Going
yeah.
on even more.
But.
Because it's like, I know what happened to him now, but it's like to point out stuff that I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense why that happened the way it did.
So I love Unbreakable. I really enjoyed Signs. I actually like The Village.
Yeah.
I don't think The Village is
a
horrible movie.
I think The Village
movie.
Is a decent movie.
I
Too many endings.
I didn't like The Happening, but that had more to do with Mark Wahlberg's just very wooden performance and Zooey Deschanel not being a very good actress
it's a
yet.
Very bad story.
Yeah.
Yeah. A very bad story.
I've shared our family story about
Airbender.
The Last Airbender.
I have not watched that at all.
Where I've sat through the whole thing. It's
Do
not,
you have it or
no,
do you have
it
on it
was
digital?
On Netflix.
Oh. Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Way, way, way long time ago.
At the beginning
ago.
Of Netflix?
And, you know, the kid who loves Avatar
yeah,
The
sure.
Last Airbender, I put it on, and she starts immediately crying.
I'm going to have to. Avatar. I know where I'm going to have to watch for this movie.
Yeah.
That is like Big Lots or something.
Dude, I think it's $5 at Walmart.
I'm not even paying $5
yeah,
for it. Big
anyway.
Lots, I could find it for $1.50 probably
there you
on
go.
DVD.
Pirate it. No. Don't pirate even
pirate
it.
I
no.
wouldn't even waste my time pirating
it. It's not even worth getting like a potential DCMA claim against you.
Right.
But anyway, but yeah, it's like the fact that this ties
so
back in.
The subtleties in this movie, like for Unbreakable fans,
mm-hmm.
the train his father was on.
Right.
So that ties back before they even like give you the whole thing that this is in the Unbreakable universe.
Right.
You know that his father had died on a train.
On a train.
Yeah.
Not the train, but
yeah,
on a train.
On a train. Yeah. And it's like that's where the break starts.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing that I read this and I went back and watched, you know, Unbreakable and that, he's in the movie. He's in Unbreakable. His character's in Unbreakable and
James McAvoy?
No,
or the dad.
The kid.
Yeah.
The kid version of James McAvoy's
right.
character. Shyamalan hasn't said that it's not true.
Okay.
David's character runs into a woman at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Shows her abusing her child. It's him.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's what everybody's like. That's him.
Okay.
And there is literally a scene in there where it shows a flashback of him, her coming after him.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow. It's like.
That's cool.
It's like, it's cool that it tied back and that that's probably what was planned anyways.
Right.
But that Shyamalan didn't have any idea that that's what he was going to do.
Well, hey, good.
But he's still a really good director.
He is.
The girl that plays Casey in this movie. I'm really looking forward to seeing
her
come back.
She was in something else too.
I don't know what else she was in, but I'm sure she was on some CW show.
I don't know. I just remember. I didn't remember
the scene with her flashback.
Yeah,
where it's, you know, and that's where I was like, because I knew what the Unbreakable thing was tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
The scene that she, with her flashback is the scene from Unbreakable where his son pulls a gun on him.
Right.
Word for word.
Yeah.
And I'm like. That was cool.
I liked that her uncle, her creepy uncle,
yeah.
was Coover from Justified.
Oh, yeah.
Which I
yeah.
just recently re-binged.
Well, and it's like he's one of those guys where you're like, you recognize him from everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her dad was cool. I liked the scenes with them, like the hunting and just the fatherly love
yeah.
that was there and how much he really, you could tell he really loved her.
Well, and the thing like with... You're like, and once you get to the end, you're like,
yeah,
yeah, she'll be the hunter.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's like, it's there. It's been
Will
there the whole time.
Will she team up with Bruce Willis, you think?
Oh, that's what yeah. they're saying. Like, she's going to be part of this story and that.
Good, good. So
we'll
yeah.
see.
You know, I honestly, this was on my list and I yeah. took it off because I figured you'd have, I figured you'd have it. And that wasn't the reason I took it off.
Yeah.
But like, at the end of the day, it was a good movie. I've only seen it once so far.
Right.
I did try to watch it. And so one of the criteria that I had was if I tried to watch a movie and fell asleep watching it and it was like normal hours.
Yeah.
It can't be on my yeah. list of favorites.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that's why
and mine
this
was just,
didn't make
you know,
it. And, you know,
some things were on there just because I really enjoyed them. And some yeah. things were on there because they did something to me.
Yep, and yeah. that's what movies are supposed to do. Right. Let us know what you guys think. What were some of your favorite movies of the year?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, obviously, I didn't see Blade Runner 2049, but I
yeah, that
didn't.
Was another one. That was when I was on vacation.
I so didn't like Blade Runner, so...
But see, I do like Blade Runner. And
right.
I'm like, you know.
And so the idea of me liking more of that story seems very foreign to me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get to go see The Post like I wanted to. You know, we were gonna go
that
see.
Just
the,
came out,
yeah,
right?
We didn't
yeah.
get to go see The Greatest Showman, which I think looks pretty good, but it has gotten horrible
it can be
reviews.
On your list next year.
Yeah, well, yeah. maybe. But anyway, all right, guys. Well, have a great New Year.
Yeah,
Happy New Year.
Yes,
and we'll be back next week with the things we're looking forward to.
We'll be back next year.
Yeah, next year with the things we're looking forward to in 2018. With movies, TV, and some comics, but because. They don't have a lot of stuff like announced for what's coming out in the summer. It's really just through March.
Yeah. It's really weird.
It's going to be like comics might be a very small part of it. I only have like two or three things and a couple of them. I'm just kind of interested in how one thing ends, how something continues.
Right. So, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Any last words?
I got to go pick up an Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah.
That's a very yeah. helpful guide.
It absolutely is. So, all right. Well,
everybody have a happy, safe New Year.
Happy, safe New Year.
You know, like Brian said, let us know what movies you like because I'm always looking.
Yeah,
for
we're
movies.
Always looking to watch new stuff. So, and
I didn't even know about The Big Sick until you told me about it.
Right.
So I'm like, you know,
and you know,
and it's one of those things where I pass stuff up on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even look at some stuff. And but, you know.
Oh, like Bright. I really liked Bright.
Oh yeah, Bright
but
was
Bright,
fun.
Bright was not a top 10 favorite for me this year.
Bright was Alienation.
It was. Oh, it was very much end of watch with aliens or with orcs.
No, it was Alienation.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
The Alienation film.
I get it.
Not the Alienation.
I know where you're going with it, and I disagree yeah. a little bit. But you know, we like to keep things positive too. So we're not gonna like talk about things that we didn't like. We're gonna be constructive about things. But we're not just going to like openly bash things that we didn't like because there's
oh,
nothing.
I will.
Well, but we're not going to.
But
like,
I'm going to have a reason why.
Yeah, we're not going to yeah. do a whole episode about why we hate something. But yeah.
Yeah. That would be my talking about work.
All right, guys.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Later. The Infus Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.